I got to say, I have some of the best informed patients and parents on the planet. I am constantly learning about new and interesting things in the world of pediatrics and pediatric health and pediatric nutrition from them. Because of their insights, I started this series that I call Interesting Conversations with Parents to bring you a little bit of their wisdom. Now, right out of the gate, I'm going to bring you a little Doxmo pearl for you, which is enjoying a good conversation is more about listening than about talking. And I think that's really true. So in that vein, I'm going to share a few of these recent conversations that I've had with parents with you today, and I hope you find those interesting. So let's get right into it.
It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's portable, practical pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Conversation number one, concussion bands. Have you ever heard of these things? I hadn't until a mom brought the subject up the other day during a checkup. Manufacturers of these headbands claim that they may help prevent serious head injuries and concussions. They seem to be all the rage among soccer players, especially female soccer players. In fact, some soccer teams have started requiring that their players wear them as a protective device, just like helmets for other sports. Unfortunately, my reading tells me that to date, there's no proof that these bands protect athletes from concussions. Lots of claims, but very little proof to date. Common sense would tell us that any protection is better than no protection, though. However, is that right? Well, maybe. Well, stay tuned for more information on the concussion bands. I'm sure you're going to see those at the soccer field the next time you get over there with your children. Conversation number two, baby skincare. Well, the second topic of today is one that comes up very frequently these days, the topic of oils for baby skin. Do they need them? And if so, which is the best type to use? Well, I'm sure you are probably aware that the incidence of eczema, which is a really dry skin condition among children, has increased in the past 25 years. And the mainstay of eczema treatment is avoiding irritants to the skin and moisturizing the skin to enhance a baby's natural skin barrier. But which moisturizer is the best for young babies? Well, mothers today are drawn to natural oils like coconut or olive oil on their babies rather than the commercially prepared products of the past. I think these mothers are thinking that if you can eat something you're putting on your baby's skin, that it's probably safe. Well, actually, I think that's pretty good thinking. And another example of food as medicine, a theme that permeates healthcare today. Well, I think these moms also believe that by using these natural oils, that there's very little chance of unintended side effects, like we see with so many other products like sunscreens and insect repellents. To me, that line of reasoning really resonates. Now, I have this conversation often with parents of my pediatric patients, so it's interesting that the other day, my good friend and pediatric dermatologist, Dr. Sue Primmer, sent me a link to an article from one of her dermatology journals talking about this very subject. Dermatologists are beginning to believe that natural oils like coconut and olive oil may actually be harmful to the surface barrier of a baby's skin. Well, that's not what my experience tells me. I'm actually a fan of these natural oils, and I'm also a fan of very little bathing, very little soap use on babies, and only using oils when their skin begins to show signs of dryness. And that hot water that comes out of our hot water heater that we love to bathe these little babies in, I think that's our biggest enemy. I routinely ask mothers who have babies with great skin, well, what's your skincare routine? What do you do for your baby? And usually what I get is, quote, I do very little. Very little bathing, very little soap, and very little hot water. I think there's a lot of wisdom there. The final conversation, conversation number three, about A2 milk. Well, I'm sure that if you are listening to a health and wellness blog, that you have heard some of the chatter in the media about the controversy about how cow's milk consumption for babies and children may not be such a great thing. Some experts think that cow's milk and dairy consumption is absolutely essential for health of children. And others believe it is the root of many chronic disease processes, like atherosclerosis, that's adult cardiovascular disease, type 1 diabetes, and some forms of cancers. According to the anti-cow's milk advocates, it's the casein protein in the milk that causes the negative health effects they believe milk has. I told you how sophisticated and informed my parents are, right? Well, they never seem to let me down. While having a conversation the other day about casein protein in cow's milk, a mother started telling me about A2 milk. That's like the letter A and the number 2. I had never heard of A2 milk. She explained to me that A1 milk is the standard type of cow's milk that contains the casein that is in most cow's milk we buy. She went on to tell me that there are cows, they're mostly in Australia and New Zealand, that produce a slightly different type of casein with one different amino acid in its structure. These cows are genetically different. Their milk is slightly different. And they call that A2 milk. It is totally natural, not bioengineered or genetically modified. Advocates of this type of milk claim that the negative health effects of A1 milk are not seen with A2 milk, and there is some evidence to back them up. Now, who funded this research and the strength of evidence is up for debate, but I have included a little bit in my SMO notes, so you can check that out. I guess time will tell us if this is all hype or really they're onto something. Well, I'm skeptical, but I was grateful to this mom for telling me about A2 milk, and I really learned something from her. Well, that wraps it up for today. If you enjoy Portable Practical Pediatrics, share these podcasts with friends and family, and for goodness sakes, subscribe. If you do, I'll send you an email of the topic that I'm going to talk about that week, and you can decide if it's something you want to listen to. It's free, and I hope you find these podcasts fun and informative. And if you have a moment, take a second to write a review on iTunes. That really helps us. And your opinion is very powerful. We read these reviews. This is Dr. Paul Smolin bringing you information on things that matter with a little health and wellness chatter. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music. Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry. And Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this podcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com podcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.